A Mind of Her Own, written by Paula MacLean and read by Hilary Huber.
1. On the first day of class, the professor said,
"Don't trust what I tell you, or what anyone tells you. Dig through this quarry for yourself, and keep what stones will build that house which most suits you. Or build no house at all, make wings, and touch the stars."
I couldn't have known then, as I copied his words in my notebook, my skin prickling, just what wings and stars would mean for me. That one day I'd be recognized the world over for discovering radium and radioactivity, claiming Nobel Prizes and 2 spaces on Mendeleev's periodic table of the elements. The future was entirely hidden, the humiliation as well as the fame, the disappointment and decades of crushing labor, as I fought to believe in myself when no one, save one young scientist, believed in me. One day, generations would know me as Madame Curie, but for the moment, there was only a young student, Marie, in a classroom in Paris, hungry to learn. With a graduated creak, a small door opened from behind an ancient sooty blackboard, and Monsieur Gabriel Lippmann strode into the lecture hall with a tower of books in his arms. Like all Sorbonne professors, Lippmann wore a white tuxedo, though his was flecked with chalk dust, his own fingerprints on his lapel and the knees of his trousers in faint, ghostly relief. I was nearly 26 then, in 1893, old for a student, but I didn't have time to dwell on such things. The Sorbonne was one of the very few universities in the world that had begun to admit women. Of the nearly 2,000 students enrolled in the Faculté des Sciences, 24 were women, and only one other besides myself was daring to attempt a licence, an advanced degree. High overhead in the lecture hall, the names of the famous minds that had once studied here were painted in gold script. St. Ignatius, Honoré de Balzac, Peter of Blois. I was in their place now. The future stretched before me, and in it all the things that might be read and heard and discovered. My head felt light with possibility, even on a dreary late autumn day, the sky densely gray and forbidding, the windows of the lecture hall filmed over with rain. "Light," Lippmann began, "moves in a wave, or rather many waves, based on property. Newton hypothesized that light is made of corpuscles of multiple colors, and that each color of light moves at different speeds in transparent matter, with red light moving much faster through glass than that of violet." He spoke quickly, with a child's enthusiasm for his subject, a vivid curiosity, his own urge to know. As his face moved animatedly with his words, light itself, wily, changeable, and mysterious, glinted from the tips of his waxed mustache. On the blackboard, he drew a waveform and then marked the troughs with fixed dots.
"Maxwell's equations expand on our beloved Newton, describing these waves as electromagnetic rays and particles, visible to the eye, pulsing through the ether at terrific speeds, with varying degrees of brightness or amplitudes, and taking on various colors, determined by the length of the wave. But what are electromagnetic rays? Where do they come from?"
He paused while my pencil raced to keep up.
"Merely from the raw beginnings of the universe. Light is evidence that the universe sprang from a colossal burst of energy that's still traveling now, here, to reach us."
It was poetry to me, more beautiful than poetry even, a place where matter, the stuff of life, met mystery and grace and the promise of discovery. A short while later, it was time for us to each find a partner and work to design an experiment that illustrated the wave property of light.